just going to open up in prayer. Father God, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that you've given us your word, God, to use as a tool, God, to just learn more about how much we need more of you, God, and how we are helplessly left to our own devices, God, if you're not in our lives, God. So, God, we lift this message up to you, God. We lift it up and let it be your voice and your words, God, not my own, God. And let your people have hearts and ears to hear, God, what it is that you want to say to them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I know last week I kind of maybe threw out a headline that maybe could have twisted this thing a little bit, and people might be like, oh, Gary said this message isn't for me, so I don't have to listen to that. Well, it isn't right now for you, but it is going to be for you at eventually a different walk in your life when you get to the same stage as Pastor and Miss Irene have. And so it is currently fixated on those two individuals in our church, in our fellowship. But this is a message that's actually directed around all those other individuals that are in those churches as well. So before we get into it, I just want to really quickly recap the last two messages, because this is the last part of the series on being prepared, and just kind of retouch on what this theme is, what it is that we're talking about. We've talked about the first step of being prepared and being refined and having the sinful nature of our hearts being dealt with and being burned in the furnace. And then we learned about the tempering of God and how God has to temper us, okay, in order to prepare us for the work that he has to have us do. We all have a job to do, and we've learned that, and we've been through that. The bottom line is that preparing or preparation that is in God's hands is always going to be a challenge for us. It's something that goes against our flesh. It goes against our nature. It's not going to be pleasant for us. But what we've ultimately learned is that God knows best, so we just need to trust God and rejoice in it. Amen? If we enlisted ourselves into God's army and we said, you know what, I'm going to serve you, Lord, then he's going to prepare you for what it is that you are going to serve in. And we just need to rejoice in that preparation. Because it's not going to be the best feeling things. It's not going to make us feel great at times. It's going to be tough. They call it tough love. But you know what? There's a bigger purpose. There's a better plan, right? We've all learned that there's more to this world than just us. There's a kingdom that God is establishing. And that's all Jesus preached, was the kingdom of God. And we've enlisted ourselves into it, and God's preparing us for it. So we learned those two areas so far. And one of the key factors here is that one big picture here is that we have to understand that the major purpose, and when you come into that part where you're saying, okay, God, I want you to prepare me, that's really the true difference between just being saved, just accepting the salvation of God, and actually committing yourself to the Lord, as what we say a Christian is, being a little Christian or a little Christ. You follow Christ, well, then you are enlisting into that army. And so, therefore, you get baptized, you align yourself with Christ. Now that's it. He's going to prepare you. He's taking that as your confession of you wanting to live as he did. And so he's going to make preparation. And so the first two things that we learned about was that refining process and then that tempering process. And today we will be learning about the third and final part of preparation that we go through, which comes at the later stages of our walk, which is the polishing. Okay? So when we talk about polishing, and a lot of people probably already know what polishing is, so I'm not going to try and make this very rudimentary. I want us to look a little bit deeper past the normal things of polishing. But polishing, we always see it as, you know, maybe you get like a wood polish and you polish this wood. And what's it end up doing to the surface? It makes it what? Shiny. Well, just so you know, I'm not interested in making Pastor and Miss Irene sparkle. Okay? That's not what we're talking about. There is a significance to the shiny surface or the mirrored surface that we will get into, but that's not it. There's a bigger part to play. There's something deeper. There's a bigger meaning here about polishing, especially when God does it, because God has a plan that's far greater, far better, far more impactful than anything we could even thought of or imagined. That's how great God is. So when we talk about polishing, the way polishing is done is it's done through two major forms. Okay? And you can write these down. The two forms are grinding and preserving. And the first thing we're going to talk about is the grinding process, because this is the one that's not so pleasant. And if you would, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll be reading the first four verses. 1 Peter chapter 5, first four verses. Everybody close to there, almost there. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. Got it? Okay. To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. That's God's instruction to the elders. He has given them specific job description. And guess what? It has nothing to do with sitting back and relaxing. It doesn't mean they stop serving. Matter of fact, it says quite clearly, you continue to serve. You continue to shepherd God's flock. And yet for some reason in the church, the eldership has gained this mindset of, I've served enough, now it's my time to sit back and relax. I've raised up leaders. They can handle the ministry now. I can sit back and relax. There's a time of rest, right? Isn't that what God says? There's a time of rest. But who gives that rest? Do we give that rest? No. God gives that rest. God makes that time. We don't. But for some reason, our time, our physical timeline, gets in the way. And time is the key. Time is the key behind this whole process of grinding. Okay? And the reason time is the process is because in our human nature, as time moves on, we grow tired and we grow weary. Yes? If you've worked at a job for 7 years, guess what? It gets tiring and boring. And you have to find new creative ways to stay excited about what you do. It's just the nature of our flesh. It's something about our design that we need something new. We need a newness, a freshness every day. And God gives that to us, but we'll talk about that. So, what happens? What is it that happens? What is that cause? What is the reason that we get to this place? The reason we come to this place is because in our nature, we are inherently slothful. We are. Left to our own devices without God, we would do nothing. And we would wither away and die. Well, given the examples that we've been going on with the messages that have been going through, we've always had an illustration, and the illustration was always associated with metal. So I've kept that theme for a reason, because here the purpose is very, very important. If we're talking about metal and armor and swords and things like that, what happens over time to a metal? It rusts. It rusts. That rust will form. That rust will come upon our lives. It happens. It's very hard for us to continue to spiritually do those things that we've been doing for years and years and years. And Pastor and Miss Irene, honestly, are way better than the norm. They are better. You guys don't understand. You're spoiled. You're spoiled. Because churches normally, how close can you get to the pastor? Not very. And you know why? Because his nature, he doesn't want to serve anymore. He's past that time. And he's gotten to the point where he feels as though he deserves rest. And let me tell you, we have to yell at pastor to stop serving. Because he doesn't want to stop. Because he knows that that's good for his soul. He sets a great example for us, guys. He sets a great example. So does Miss Irene. That's why I said this message really is about Miss Irene and Pastor. But it's more than that. And we're talking about this grinding process. So what does the grinding do? What does the grinding have to do? Well, the grinding does what? What does it do? It smooths out that rough, rusted surface, right? Okay? So we turn around and we have to grind that surface down. You're actually pulling the metal down. It's a hurtful process because you actually have to push that metal against something. And guess what? When God thought about the fact that our nature will get rusty as we grow old, it's going to happen. He gave the best example in the world. And it's the coolest thing. And this is just awesome. I'm totally blown away. If you go to Proverbs 27, you don't have to turn because it's very simple. Verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. He uses you guys to grind them down. Isn't that amazing? Aren't you amazed at the fact that you are here to grind them down? But why? Why do they need to be grinded down? The rust is there. The rust is there. The rust happens. But we grind them down so that they can be smooth and shiny. The ultimate goal here, guys, is that they reflect the image of God. Band of Brothers, we went to Band of Brothers 2 years ago, and there was a young man, and he preached a really good message. And he talked about how their ceiling is our floor. You get to increase the ceiling. Hear me. You have a role to raise that ceiling higher. Because guess what? The higher their ceiling is, the higher your floor starts. That's why iron sharpens iron. That's why God designed it. But guess what? Just as much as He needs us, we need Him. Because if He quits, I don't have a ceiling. What do you mean, Gary? What do you mean? How does that work? You could just pick it up, right? If Pastor quit today, so I'm done. Throws his hands up, I'm done. Fold it up. I quit. We have a leadership. I'm preaching a word. I can keep going. Sure, why not? Why isn't it going to work? No, it is not. It's none of those things. I'll tell you why. Because that shiny surface left unpolished. And the polishing is reputation. It's reputation. And whether you believe it or not, as you all here sit and identify yourself with streams, you identify yourself with that man's reputation. That's a fact. And that's why God says iron sharpens iron. Because if you care about what you're inheriting, you want to make sure that that reputation is the most pristine, polished surface it can possibly be. That's why iron sharpens iron. Now, Pastor may not like it sometimes. We've had some talks. We've had them. He comes down on us. How many have been in the office? Ed? Who's in there earlier today? We've all been in the office. We've heard the talks. He can be rough at times, but guess what? He's rough because he expects that in return. He expects that same treatment to come back on him. He's given me full rights and permission to tell him when he's not becoming, when he's out of line. And yeah, he still grumbles and complains about it. That's what's rusty. That's the rust. But guess what? He'll get better. It's but a flesh wound. He'll get better. He'll get better. Because the ultimate end is that it's not me. It's not me doing it. It's God in me doing it. I should never come to Pastor with a personal grievance. It's not about me. But if God said something, then I need to better darn well bring it over to him and tell him. Because he needs to hear it. That's what ironing, sharpen ironing is. It better be for his spiritual well-being. It better be for that reputation. It better be to raise that ceiling higher. Don't go in there just to start a fire. Because he's going to give you the bucket and tell you, you made it, you put it out. But if you have a purpose, and that purpose is because God said, then you go do what God said. Because that's exactly what he's talking about. That's what grinding is. That's what we do. We are here to grind down those rusty surfaces. Now, let's talk about the other part. The preservation. Because once we grind that metal down, it's smooth, but it's not shiny yet. It needs that extra shine, that polish, that to give it that mirrored finish. And that polishing, that shining, is done through the preserving stage, okay, which is the second stage of this polishing. The second stage is the preservation. When you preserve something, you do it for what reason? Longevity. That's right. To keep it. To keep it for as long as you possibly can. And guess what? We have a part to play in this too, folks. Because guess what? If I can preserve my pastor, I'm going to put him in a freezer. I'm going to keep him as long as I possibly can. But why? Why? Why would we want to preserve that? Why would we want to do that? What's the reason? Well, because it's part of God's plan. That's it. It's preparation. There's a preparation to be made. And the preparation is for a greater purpose. So we also must now look at the preservation. And the way things are preserved, especially in the metal stages, okay, preservation of metals is done through something very, very symbolic. And Ed, I would like to ask you, what do you preserve metal with? Oil. Oil. Amazing. Oil. How great is that? Preservation, right? There's two time frames of which preservation takes place. The first step of preservation is done throughout your walk. Heads up, this applies to everybody, including Pastor and Miss Irene. Well, actually, not really. They're past that stage now. But at this present moment, as we walk into that stage, as we walk through the latter stages of our lives, we have a responsibility, if we want to avoid less grinding down, to preserve currently what we've been given. If you've been given a set of armor and it got nicked, what should you do? You should oil it. Because if you don't, it's going to what? Rust. This is not brain surgery. This is easy stuff, I'm telling you. But it's important stuff that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to tell the pastor he's rusty. Why? You need to. But more importantly, the preservation of things helps prevent that rust. And how do we do that? Well, that's actually something that's really simple. If we go to 1 Samuel, which you can turn there, there's an example of the oil being used in a way that I think we already know. So we really probably don't have to turn there. We're talking about the anointing of David as king. Okay, and remind yourselves again, if you're not familiar with the story, they anointed Saul first. Remember this. And they used a vial of oil. They just poured it on him. Because the people wanted a king. Did they get a good king? Nice try. No, that wasn't God's purpose. That wasn't God's plan. And nothing happened when they anointed Saul. They just poured oil on him, and people went, he's king. God didn't say. So did he have power? Sort of. A corrupted version. He had the power the people gave him. That's it. But when they anointed David by pouring the oil through the shofar, okay, it said that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. How? Powerfully. And I thought that that was really unique. It didn't just come upon him, but it came upon him powerfully, or with power. The oil that we are talking about, as far as this preservation is concerned, is talking about being imbued with power. But why? What do we need this power for? Well, we learned through the tempering stage, why are we tempered? Because we have to what? We need to be strengthened. We need to endure what is going to come. Power, strength, endure. That's the plan. The oil that we have to do, or we have a responsibility to put on for preservation, can be done right now. How do we get this oil? How do we get this oil? Do I just lift up my hands? God, I need your oil. Go in the closet. There's some canola oil. Pour it all over yourself. Take baths in it. Do whatever you need to do. Are we talking about that? No. There's a spiritual significance. How do we get oiled? I'll tell you how. We need to spend time with God. Every time we get on our knees, oil gladness. Every time we go to God and commune with Him, oil gladness. We spend time in His Word, oil gladness. We lift our hands in praise and worship, the oil gladness. That's how you condition yourself. But if you do this every Sunday, guess what the end result is? You're going to be rusty. I'm telling you right now, if you do that once day or one day a week for until you're, I'm not throwing ages out, until you're in that walk of your life and you come into that elder stage, when that happens, guess what? You're going to be rusty. And you're going to have your flock coming over there going, and you're going to go, oh my God, leave me alone. Well, it was your fault. Because you only wanted to spend time with God one day a week. This is our part, guys. This is not just to them now. This is to us. This is how we can stop that rusting process. We may not be able to get it all out. There might be some grinding. Yeah, we'll still probably have to endure a little bit. But guess what? If you preserve what you've been given now, when you get to that stage, it's less work. Which means, guess what? You can spend more time getting that ceiling higher. There's a bigger plan. And we all have a part to play. Now let's talk about the polishing afterward. Because we talked about the preserving it, getting to this point. But what about that, okay, now we grinded it, we got that surface clean, the whole 9 yards. Now we need that oil to really make it shine. Now I told you, the shiny part, we're not talking about making Miss Irene and Pastor sparkle. But we are in a sense. There's a reason. There's a really, really important reason. And this is the part that I think that we really, really, really need to look at and examine. Because we're talking about raising that ceiling. We're talking about how this relationship is really symbiotic. We get something, they get something. Everybody's doubly blessed in the process. But there's a big, 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 big picture. That second part of that polishing is to create that mirror finish, that reflection, that reputation. The only reputation that matters here is whose? Christ. We reflect God. We reflect the image of God. Well, at this stage, why is it so important for an elder in the church walking with the Lord to reflect ever so much, to be the brightest, to be the shiniest? Why? I thought that too, Dan. Because people are following him. But then God showed me something far greater than you can imagine. Turn, please turn, to 2 Kings chapter 2. And I told you, you already got this answer, Dan. But I'll let you keep it to yourself for now. 2 Kings 2, verses 9 through 15. And I shall read. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replied. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "Yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours. Otherwise, it will not." As they were walking along, talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, "My father, my father." The chariots and horsemen of Israel and Elisha saw him no more. And then he took hold of his garments and tore them in two. Elisha then picked up Elijah's cloak that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, struck the water with it. "Where now is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" he asked. When he struck the water, it divided to the right and to the left, and he crossed over. The company of prophets from Jericho who were watching said, "The spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha." And they went to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. That's the importance. Listen, church. There is more than just a double portion for you to get. That he is diligently providing for you. And we are squandering it. Because we'd rather focus on other things. We'd rather focus on our pity parties, and we'd rather focus on this and that and the other. When we should be focusing on how shiny and reflective is he. Because ultimately, when his time is gone, that cloak goes to the floor. I want the cloak! I want the cloak! Hear me, I'm telling you now, I want his cloak! I want his mantle! Why? Because that's where the double portion is! I get his reputation! I want it! Why? Because I'm invested. Because I've invested myself. And as an investor, I want the return on my investment. And guess what? He's going to give it away. Because he can't take it with him. He's going to give it away. Do you want it? Or do you not want it? Because if you do want it, then you should be very much interested on how reflective he is of God. You should be very interested in the power that he has upon him. You should be interested in every ounce of his walk at this stage, because everything that goes on from here on out, he needs to be prepared for the next stage, which is when he hands that mantle down. That's what he's being prepared for. That's what Miss Irene's being prepared for. They're not going to be around forever. God hoping they go well into their later years. But they're not going to be able to continue to do this as long as you think. There comes a point in time where they get taken out. Because the next generation has more to offer. Do you hear me? You have more to offer. Because guess what? They can't go past the ceiling. That's as far as they can go. But we can. We have the ability to go over that ceiling and start with that as our floor. So that mantle that we pick up, that's just the beginning. And if you read more, what did Elisha do? Bam! He did twice as much. Revelation? No, I don't think so. Common sense? Probably. Read your word. It's there. church. It's there. The bottom line is are you ready for it? Because if you're still getting refined, you might miss it. You might miss the opportunity to have a portion of that double portion. Do you want it or not? It's up to you. It's entirely up to you. But I'm going to tell you this. I know, and it's not easy. I'm going to speak from the heart. It's not easy coming to the point in your walk where you have to realize, this is where I am and this is who I am. But God be given the glory. And step out in faith. It's hard. That's the hard part. But once you start the process, don't quit. Because that's your future. And if you don't appreciate what they have, I encourage you, spend more time around them. Spend more time observing them. Are they the best all the time? No, there's still rust on them. They still have their quirks and quibs, but guess what? The more you're around them, the more you sharpen them. The more you spend with them, the better off they get, and the better we'll be for it. We reap the benefit, guys. We do. But it's about that polishing process. It's a very important process, but yes, it is for the later stage. It doesn't come now. We have a role to play in it to help make it better by that preserving and taking maintenance and care over what we've been given, but we have to do it now. And especially since we have elders, we're responsible to them as much as we are to ourselves. Yeah, we have to work twice as hard because we have to take care of them and we have to take care of ourselves. But guess what? When we get that mantle, we'll be twice the better for it. How awesome is God? How awesome is God? He never put the cart before the horse. Not even in this. So, I have nothing more. That's it. This is it. This is being prepared. And you know what? Honestly, I have to say, it's good for you to think really hard. Go to your prayer closet. Seek out the Lord. Find out, where am I in being prepared? I mean, as for Pastor Miss Irene, we know where they're at. Am I getting refined? Am I being tempered? I'll tell you, I'm being tempered. And it's rough. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. Dan had asked me. He asked me yesterday. He's like, how's the job hunting going? Not good. There's nothing there. Not at all. Praise be God. Because he's got a plan. I don't know what it is, but he's got a plan. But I will endure. Because it's for my strengthening. It's going to make me better. That's where I'm at. Where are you? Find out where you're at. And embrace it. Be okay with it. Seek God. If you're not sure what your role is yet, that's the key. Find out who you are. Find out what you're supposed to be. If you're enlisted in the army, don't you want to know what your assignments are? I mean, I would. It's kind of good to know if you got a sniper rifle if you're supposed to be up there on the tree and sniping dudes. Just saying. Because sniper rifles on the front line don't really work too well. You're going to get taken out. Okay, you know, like, it takes too long. So find out where you're supposed to be. Find out your role. Be prepared. Allow yourself to be prepared. Because the reward, when you're in, you get that double portion. You get that mantle. And I thank you guys. From the bottom of my heart, I thank you guys because you are an exceptional example. And you've done so much to showcase what this is truly about and what ministry looks like and how to put your hands to the plow. And you continue to do that, what that scripture says, and serve the flock and shepherd the flock, even till these days. And so I'm grateful, and I thank you, and I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to share this message. Amen. I'm just going to disconnect.